I want to welcome our good friend and brother, Mr. Donald Fleming. Donald comes from the Iron Hall in Belfast. When I was away on holiday, I took with me that book by Victor Maxwell, The Belfast Halls of Faith and Fame. And there's a chapter in it all about the Iron Hall in Belfast, along with many of the other places where great work for God has been done. Donald was here in the summertime, representing the Faith in Action ministry that he's involved in, and he will give us a wee update on that tonight as well. But he's come to give a personal word of testimony. His wife Jacqueline is also in the meeting, and would like to welcome Jacqueline along. This, I think this is her first visit here to Armagh, but you're both very, very welcome in the Saviour's name. And we'll ask our brother to speak to us, please.
Thank you, David.
And maybe give you this, brother.
Okay.
You can jump over the pulpit then if you need.
Thank you. Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's great to be back again in Armagh. It's great to see you all again. Thank you so much to Reverend McMillan for the invitation back to give my testimony. I just love to give my testimony because it brings you back to what you were and what the Lord is now transforming me into. So I love the Lord very, very much. I came to know him 22 years ago. My wife Jacqueline followed just 3 weeks after me. The Lord saved her too. And from then, it's been full steam ahead for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're having a wonderful time. It's great to be saved, isn't it? Wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know the Son of God and just to know that he loves you and that he died for you upon the cross. So it's wonderful to be here tonight. It's great to see you all. It's also lovely to see Hannah again and to hear Hannah. And may God continue to use her and bless Hannah and her ministry also. We're just back from Ukraine. We're not too long back. And just a wee very brief update. We had a wonderful time there. The Lord is saving precious souls and restoring backsliders over there. The prison ministry that we're involved in, we want to now try and move outside of the prison ministry. There's 180 prisons in Ukraine. They've opened the door for the gospel, and wonderful things are happening in all of the prison systems right throughout Ukraine. Souls are being saved. There's baptisms, there's testimony groups, there's Bible studies in all the prisons throughout Ukraine. So God is moving in a great way. But as well as that, we're moving outside of the prison system now, and we're moving right up onto the Russian border. And we thought, how can we work on the Russian border? Because we actually have a rehabilitation center there for the prisoners who come out of prison. And we thought, well, the border is full of very poor farmers, one sheep, one chicken, that sort of poor. And we thought a wonderful opportunity to go to have a farming ministry with on the Russian border there. At the same time, the farming ministry will help the prison ministry to become self-sufficient. Again, you can reach in and help the poor farmers and the poor families within that area, as well as helping the Christian school that we have in the city. So that's already started, and God is already blessing that work. On the first day of it, there was one lady came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord put his seal upon that trip. We're also planning, because we work with so many sick and elderly people, the new project that's just beginning now is we want to build a nursing home out there, because so many elderly and sick and very lonely people, they're dying without the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're dying on their own. And we want to start building this nursing home very, very soon. We've already bought the land. So very quickly, we're just looking to the Lord to provide everything that's needed for that. Get the nursing home up, bring the sick and the elderly in, and just love them. You know, they're very ill, and many of them, they're almost going out into a lost eternity. So it's so important that we do this quickly and we start to reach these people and win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just a couple of things that we're doing. We head out again on New Year's Day to continue all of these different ministries. You know, God is moving in a powerful way in that land of Ukraine. Please keep it in your prayers that he will continue to use the church there for his glory. John chapter 14, please. There's some newsletters just sitting at the door, if you would like to take one. John chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we know that the Lord will bless that reading from his precious word. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee again for thy precious word. Father, we thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven, whilst at the same time faith still cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we pray tonight that you will give us ears to hear, that you will give us eyes to see, that you will give us hearts that would be obedient unto the call of the word of God. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we pray that you will glorify your own great name in the salvation of precious souls here tonight. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure you can tell by now that I'm not from Northern Ireland. I was born and brought up just outside Glasgow. I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family, a family with lots of different problems, mainly alcohol. But although those problems existed, my mother always tried to bring me up to be a good wee Catholic boy by sending me along to all the activities within the Roman Catholic Church. Saturday morning, she would send me along to confessions. I would go in, I would tell the priest all the bad things that I had done since my previous confession, which would have been the week before. And he would then tell me to go in peace, that my sins were forgiven. I don't ever remember coming out of the confessional box with peace, knowing that my sins were actually forgiven. I don't ever remember doing that. You see, as a Roman Catholic, we never had a Bible. We didn't know that the Word of God was saying, who can forgive sins but God only? That only God has the right to listen to our confession. And by certainly God is the only one who can tell us that our sins are now forgiven. I didn't know that. We didn't have a Bible, so we were completely ignorant to the ways of God. As well as going to confession, she would send me along to the chapel on a Sunday morning. And I found myself not only going on Saturdays and Sundays, but midweek, before I went to school, St. Patrick's Primary School and the high school, before I went there, I would go into the chapel about 8:30 in the morning. For me, it was a sort of an escape from the problems within my family. And I would go into that big, dark chapel, a huge big building, and sit there on my own and pray to Mary. I was looking for help even at that young age. I knew that something was wrong in my life, my family's life. And as I would go in there, sometimes I would sit and pray using the rosary beads and pray to the different idols and the different icons. But even though all of those things were going on, I just didn't know that there was only one way to heaven. And it was the way that the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out in John 14:6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. You see, I thought that salvation was found only in the Roman Catholic Church, as well as my family. We all thought the same. I started to doubt many things that were going on within that system. As I got older, I started to question many things. I started to question the practice of idolatry. I remember questioning at one time and saying, do these things actually hear me? Do they know what I'm talking about? Because I've never had an answer to prayer. I have never seen anything changing in my life or my family's life. So I started to doubt many different things within the Roman Catholic Church. As we asked a lady one day, why do we pray more to Mary? Why is our prayers more about Mary than about Jesus Christ? And she says, because Mary loves us more than Jesus does. And it wasn't until I found the Bible that I found that no one can love us the way that the Lord Jesus Christ can do it. Her mother and father can't love us more. Her grannies and her granders, her friends, no one can love us the way that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. But that was the sort of teaching that we were receiving as we were being brought up in the Roman Catholic Church. Just before my 18th birthday, I wanted away from my family. So what do you do? In those days, you joined the army. And guess where they sent me? Here, Northern Ireland, 1974. Came over here in 1974. And I actually finished my time in the army within Northern Ireland. We had a 2-year posting here. And it was good to see that not everybody was alike. We were a wee bit apprehensive about coming here, but didn't get back. So there must be something good about Northern Ireland. We stayed here, met my wife Jacqueline here, from the frying pan into the fire, left the army and joined the RUC. And I was in the RUC for 24 years. For 18 of those years, I looked after Ian Paisley and Eileen and the family. He didn't know in those days that there was a Roman Catholic Scotsman guarding him. And when he found out, he had a right good laugh about it, right enough. But I wasn't saved in those days, and I was far from God. A young soldier out the army into the police, and quite wild in those days, and extremely far from God. The young boy who used to think about God from time to time was no longer there. I had no God in my thoughts. I had never been in a church in my life. I didn't know that Jesus Christ loved me. I didn't know that he died for me upon the cross. So I was completely ignorant to Christianity. I didn't know the way as the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out here. And as I was working with the doc, I remember being transferred to Dundonald Police Station for a short time. And while I was there, there was a young believer came to that station. And as soon as he walked through the front door, he told everyone, "I'm a born-again Christian." He nailed his colours to the mast immediately, because the police is a very difficult place to be a Christian and to be a working, witnessing believer for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a hard place to be, and it's a hard place to witness in many occasions. But he was bold, and he told us all that he was a born-again Christian. They had a good laugh at him. I laughed at him. But when the laughing stopped, I said to myself, "What's a born-again Christian?" I had often heard the phrase, but I didn't know what a born-again Christian was. That fellow became a very good friend of mine. He lived in Newton Ards beside me, so we traveled every day to work. And Jovara took every opportunity to tell me about his Savior. And we had some great conversations, him presenting the Lord Jesus Christ and me presenting the Roman Catholic Church. No match. You know, I was on a loser straight away, so I was. But as a young Roman Catholic, I still held all those beliefs, even though I was a policeman. It was had been really engrafted into me, and I still believed all of those things that had been taught as a young boy growing up there. 2 years later, I remember sitting down with him this day. He wasn't talking to me because I'd taken drink that day. I now had an alcohol problem. And I remember looking at him and thinking, there's something different about him. There's really, he doesn't act like other policemen. He has a Bible. He goes to church. He goes to speak in churches. He gives his testimony. He does so many things. I said, he's just different from the other policemen that I know. And that led me to ask him the very first question that I had ever asked anyone of a spiritual nature. And I said, "Joe, what does it mean to be born again? You called yourself a born-again Christian when you came here. What does that actually mean?" And he looked at me and he said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Oh, yes, I'm serious." And he stood up, and this is what he said to me. Now, I don't know all of you here tonight, so I want to ask you the questions that he asked me. The first thing he said to me was, in order to be born again, he said, the first question I want to ask you is this: do you believe that you're a sinner? And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, I know that I'm a sinner." And I want to ask you that question too, friends. Do you realize that you are a sinner? Because if you don't realize that you're a sinner, if you don't own up to your sin and admit that you're a sinner, you can never be saved. And I said, "Yes, I believe that I'm a sinner." He said, "Secondly, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came into this world and he died for the sins of the world, that he died for your sins?" I said, "Well, I know that Jesus died for sins, but why would he die for somebody like me?" And I want to ask you that question too. Friends, do you realize and do you believe that the Son of God came into this world and that he died for your sins upon the cross? Thirdly, he said, "Do you believe that he rose again from the dead on the third day?" And I said, "Yes, I believe that." And friends, I'm asking you that question too. Do you believe that the Son of God rose from the dead on the third day? He said, that's good. He says, now that you know that you're a sinner, you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he rose again from the dead. He said, confess your sins to God. Don't go to a priest. He said, you don't need any priest or any minister or any pastor. He said, pray, ask God to forgive your sins. He says, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you from your sins. He said, put Jesus Christ right at the center of your life and live for him. It was great, great advice. And after about 4 hours of speaking to him that day, I left. I left with absolutely no intentions of becoming a Christian. He was telling me what it meant to be born again, and I was looking at it from a Roman Catholic point of view. But I left Dundonald Police Station that day in the police car, went to Belfast, got out of the car, and this man just appeared in front of me and said, son, have you been born again? And I looked at him and I said, yes, I have. I was trying to be smart. And I said, no, I haven't. God kept me under very strong conviction of sin that day. I went home that night. Jacqueline was in the hospital. And Joe had given me a little book, like a little booklet home with me about sin, about the Savior, and about salvation. And for the first time, I sat down with this little book and I started to read it. I was curious as to what it was all about. And it talked about sin. It showed me very, very clearly that I was a sinner, that I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it told me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it showed me the Savior. And to this I was so surprised. It talked about Jesus Christ as the only Savior, as the only mediator, because I believed that the Roman Catholic Church it could save me. I believed that Mary was a mediator and so on and so on. But this little book was pointing out from the Word of God with all the scriptural references that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And outside of him, there is absolutely no salvation. And then the final point was salvation itself, that outside of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, that we can only be saved through him. As he says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can get to heaven except through him. As I sat and I read all of those things, I came to the last page, and it said, if you want to be born again, if you would like to be saved from your sins, become a Christian, pray this little prayer. You know, I'm ashamed to tell you that because I didn't know how to pray. I had never prayed in my life except to icons and to Mary using rosary beads, and that was all repetition. And here I was being asked to pray the most important prayer of my life, because now I realized I was a sinner. I now realized that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for me upon the cross, that he shed his precious blood and that he suffered more than any man has ever suffered. And as I realized all of that, he rose again from the dead. I believed all of that. I prayed that simple prayer from the back page of that book. I didn't know how to pray, but praise the Lord that God knew my heart, that he could see the heart. He knew that I was serious, that I was so sincere. And I repented of my sin that night. Jacqueline was in hospital. I went into the kitchen, I poured all of the alcohol down the sink, and I said, Lord, I need your help. I said, I can't do this sort of thing on my own. I went to work the next morning. I told Joe that I had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so happy. He went out and he bought me my first Bible. I had never owned a Bible before. I thought some man sat down at one time and wrote the Bible. That's how ignorant I was. I didn't know that the Bible was the Word of God. He gave me my first Bible and I took it home and I started to read it. And I read it from Genesis to Revelation in 3 or 4 weeks. Understood absolutely nothing. So I went and did it again, still understood nothing until the pastor of the church took me and settled me down and helped me and started to nurture me and put a good elder of the church in charge of me to help me. And I ended up reading it for 17 hours a day for 6 years. I just could not stop reading the Word of God. Even when I was meant to be protecting the dock, I was reading the Word of God. You know, and he was shouting to me, brother, don't be stopping reading the Word of God for me. Keep reading. And that gave me great freedom to just sit down and just to read the Word of God. Jacqueline came out of hospital and she said, what have you been up to while I was in hospital? I said, well, I became a Christian. And she started to laugh at me. Jacqueline was, she was brought up in a Christian family. Her mother and father were believers, and two of her sisters were believers, but Jacqueline wasn't saved yet. Praise the Lord that that was going to come very quickly after my salvation. 3 weeks later, Jacqueline came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord reminded me about my family in Scotland, and he sent me back to my family. Sadly, it was for the funeral of my grandmother. And we went back, and we had to go to the funeral of my grandmother. And Jacqueline said, what do I do? We have to get into this chapel. What do I do? I said, well, you don't do anything. Just do what I do. We're not here to worship Mary or anyone else. We're here to pay our last respects to my grandmother. So we went into the chapel, and we sat there, and we didn't take part in any way. My father said to me, you've brought great shame upon the family. Go away and never return here again. And I said, why? What's wrong? What have I done? He says, go away and never return. We want no more to do with you. And I said, Lord, is this what it means to become a Christian? That those that you love will turn their back on you and want nothing more to do with you? And I said, if it is, Lord, I'm willing to take my stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? The Lord gave me a very precious word from the Bible that just at that time. I think it was Psalm 27, where he said, when your father and your mother forsake you, then I will take you up. It was a difficult time in my life, but it was a very, very precious time, because the Lord drew me closer and helped me and strengthened me over those periods. Then they said to me, whenever you hear from us again, it will mean somebody's dead or dying. So I got the call that my mother was dying. And I had talked to my mother before they took nothing to do with me. I had tried to point her to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she was a very devout Roman Catholic. She was in the chapel 7 days a week. She worked in the charity shop 6 days a week. Her whole mind was Roman Catholicism, and there was nothing outside of the Roman Catholic Church. And she was trying to work and earn her own salvation. I got the opportunity to tell her, Mum, that Jesus is the only one that can save you. And I had an opportunity at one time to talk to her for 5 minutes. She then reported me to the priest, who said, don't worry about him, he's found God. He knew that I had found God, but he didn't know how to find him himself. Or he couldn't tell anybody else how to find God. But I went over for my mother, and she was lying in the bed, and she was gasping for breath. And I remember taking her by the hand and saying, Mom, if you can hear me, remember what I told you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. Ask him to save you. And I remember praying, you know, I told you I didn't know how to pray. And I said, Father, I said, I'm asking you to honor your words and your promises to me. You promised me household salvation. I said, please don't let my mother die like this in front of me and go to hell. I says, please don't let me live with a memory of that. I said, save her. Give her one last opportunity just to accept your son. And I was trembling as I prayed, because I thought God would strike me down dead for talking to him so boldly. But you know, God loved me. And not only did he love me, he loved my mother. And 25 minutes later, she opened her eyes and she propped herself up in the pillow. And she opened her eyes and said, Donald, I've trusted in Jesus. She accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that evening. And she lasted for another 10 days after that. So we had the opportunity for the first time to sit down with the Word of God with her, to open the Bible to her, to do daily readings for her, and just encourage her in the Lord in those very early days. And then the night that she was passing away, my sister said, Mom, do you want me to get the priest? And she says, no, I don't need him. Do you know why she didn't need him? Because she now had a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. She passed away that night. I didn't have a relationship with my mother here, but I'll see her again one day, and I'll not be in these old, sick, sinful bodies. I'll be in her new, heavenly, glorified bodies when I will see her again. And that's why I love the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, because he died for me. He shed his precious blood. He suffered more than any man has ever suffered, and he died for me. And you know something? He saved my wife, he saved my daughter, he saved my mother right from the very brink of hell. And as I was thinking about that, I believe it got to the stage that as she was drifting closer and closer to that lost eternity, maybe she sort of said to herself, well, where's Mary? Or where's the priest? Or where's the Pope? Or where are the saints that I've prayed to all my life? Where are they now? There was none. But praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit brought back those words, Jesus saves. Only Jesus Christ can help you. And brothers and sisters, she repented that night. She turned from her sin. She put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? That text tonight in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know something? He said, I am the way. So many people in the world today, they want to do it their own way, don't they? They want to go their own way. They want to do it their own way. But the Word of God tells us that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends are the way of death. It may look to you as though it's right, but you know something? We have to take the final authority on death and eternity, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And he says, no, he says, I am the way. No other way is good enough. He said, I am the way. You know something? I don't know how many times I have been asked throughout my life since I've been saved, and especially since I've been serving the Lord, what makes you so right and everybody else wrong? What makes Christianity so special? I believe that what makes Christianity right and what makes Christianity so special is this. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a Savior who's alive and well. A Savior who has conquered death and conquered the grave. He's not like all of these so-called great world religions, that great Islamic faith where they're trusting in a Muhammad who's dead and buried and in the grave. He can do nothing for himself, let alone anyone else. What about the Mormons and Joseph Smith? Where is he? He's dead and buried. He's in the grave. What about Charles Taze Russell of the JWs? Where is he? He's dead. He's buried. He's in the grave. What about the millions of God of the great Hindu religion? They're made of plastic and wood and silver and gold. They can't hear, they can't speak, they can do nothing for no one. What makes Christianity so special is that I have a risen Savior. I have a Savior who suffered and bled and died upon the cross for my sins. But praise his great name, on the third day he rose again from the dead, conquering death and conquering grave. And he says to everyone here tonight, I am the way. And outside of me, no church, no organization, no mission, no charity can save you. Only I can do that. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the way. He also said, I am the truth. You know, we're living in a day where the truth is so badly distorted, isn't it? The Word of God has been taken by ungodly men and women, and it has been twisted and turned every which way just to prove that it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman and all of the other terrible things that are happening in our world today. But brothers and sisters, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the truth, we must believe that because he is the faithful and true witness. And we must believe everything that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, everything that the Word of God points us to. When it tells us that God created everything, then we believe that. We don't have to debate it or argue about it or think about it. We believe it because we know that this is the Word of God. When it tells us that the Son of God was born into this world through a virgin birth, we believe it. We don't go analyzing it. We believe it because this is a life of faith. When it tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died upon the cross for our sins, what do? We believe it with all of our heart. And when it comes to the resurrection, when he tells us that he rose again from the dead the third day, what do? We believe every word of it. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the truth And he is the only truth. And this is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, as Christians, that we take the Word of God, that we read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we meditate upon the Word of God, and we take it and we hide it deep in our hearts so that we don't sin against him and so that we can't be deceived by the terrible lies that are abounding in the world today, even in churches. I was in a church last week, and it was so sad to see there was not one Bible within that fellowship. And I said to them, how can you be a Christian without a Bible? I said, you're open to the attacks of the devil. You'll believe every lie. You'll be blown about with every wind of doctrine. You need the Word of God in your hand. People died to give us this book. And brothers and sisters, by the end of that service, one lady came to me. And she said, what you said about the Mormons is wrong. They are so good. They are lovely people. They teach the Word of God and they do this, that, and the other. But you don't believe that. And I said, no, I don't believe that. And brothers and sisters, that's a perfect example of what I'm saying. That we need to have the Word of God in our hands. We need to be reading it, not just in church, but when we go home. We study it, we find out all about what the Lord wants for our lives, and we take it and we hide it deep in our hearts so that we can't be deceived by the cults who are coming round the doors today. Jesus said, I am the truth. And brothers and sisters, he is the only truth. Finally, he said, I am the life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all life, physical life, spiritual life, and praise the Lord, eternal life. God created us from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into us. And praise the Lord that whenever we come to know him, like I did 22 years ago, like Jacqueline did 22 years ago, when I came to know him, I was born spiritually. That old, cold, sinful, hard heart that I used to have, he took it from me. That heart that wanted nothing to do with God, that heart that wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, that heart that wanted nothing to do with the Word of God, with churches, with Christians, he took that heart away and he gave me a heart of flesh. I was born again. I was born spiritually. So I was born physically and spiritually. He gave me that heart of flesh, a heart that would love him, a heart that would love his Son, that would love his Word. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, well, I would love to become a Christian, but I don't think I could go to church twice on a Sunday and once midweek, and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. Friends, it's not that you have to do it. But whenever you're born again and the Spirit of God moves in, you want to do it. You want to be where God's people are. You want to be where the Word of God is opened. It's not that you have to do it. You will want to do it. You will want to be where God's people are and where the Word of God is being ministered from, where you're going to hear the truth. Jesus Christ is the source of all life, physically, spiritually, and praise the Lord that when we trust in him, he has told us, I will give you eternal life. He's taking us to heaven one day. He's coming back to take us to heaven. Eternity is going to be a place where no more sin, there'll be no more sickness, no more sadness, no more pain, no more hospitals, no more funerals. What a place is going to be. Brothers and sisters, unsaved friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us so clearly, I am the way to heaven. I am the truth about heaven. And I am the life that you will receive when you get to heaven. Maybe you've been coming along here for so long, you've never taken that step. You've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't be ignoring what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you tonight. It doesn't matter how much money you pay into the church. It doesn't matter if you know this book cover to cover. If you have never been born again, you're still lost in your sin. Please don't be leaving here tonight without coming and speaking about it. We would love to point you to the Savior. He's done so much for me in my life. I'm 22 years saved. I didn't think I would last 1 minute. And you know, in my own strength, I wouldn't have lasted a minute. But it's not my strength. I'm saved by the grace of God and kept by his power. and praise the Lord that he's called me into service. Not only would he save a wretch like me, but he takes me and uses me and my wife for his glory, pointing other sinners to our wonderful, wonderful Savior. So friends, before I sit down, just let me say it once more. Please don't be leaving tonight if you're not saved. Come and speak to us. Come to know him, because coming to know him means life eternal. And you'll be sorry that you didn't do it years ago. He's a wonderful Savior. It's a wonderful life. And all I want to do and all that Jacqueline wants to do is serve him until the day that he comes or the day that he calls. We love him so much. We just thank him and praise him for this opportunity just to speak to you tonight. So thank you and God bless you.